Well, it's good to be here, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah, time for a session entitled About Time. It is about time. I was just saying to you, Chris, this is not something that normally we see or hear in a church setting, talking about time management and that sort of idea.
Right.
This is something that you've had on your heart for a long time,
mm-hmm.
I suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Something that you've taught in the past. I'm really looking forward to this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I'm not the only one. I know my wife is really excited to hear what you have to say about this as well.
For her sake or for what you're going to learn?
For what I'm going to learn. It's all good. I know I have lots to learn, and I'm excited to see what you have to say about it. Let's dive in. Mm-hmm. Why are we learning about time?
Yeah, time management or productivity, which is another word that we're going to use. Not common topics for Sunday school sessions and church settings. You expect more to find this on the shelves of the business section at the bookstore,
mm-hmm.
right? Where in the business world, time management is quite a burgeoning topic,
mm-hmm.
And has been for a lot of years. That is changing, though. In the past few years, there's actually been a number of significant books that have been published by Christians that have talked about the fact that as God's people, we should care about how we manage our time more than the secular world. And something we're going to talk about here is that we care about it for different reasons. In the business world, time management really matters because the more you manage your time well, the more money you're able to make. As God's people, we should really care about how we use our time and how productive we are, because we have a very limited amount of time as mm-hmm. we're here on this earth. And we've been told that there's several very specific commands that have been given to us about being fruitful, right? And fruitful means producing an amount within a time frame. Like, fruitfulness has to do with that, right? So if someone was to say, if a farmer was to say, hey, I got, however many bushels to the acre off my field over the past 10 years, well, that's not fruitful. If he says, I got 10 bushels to the acre this year, then, okay, well, that's great, right? So there's that sense of being fruitful in good works. Speaks to a certain amount of good works within a certain amount of time, right? We should be paying attention to that. But also, the really key verse about this is Ephesians 5:15-16, which is really the key verse for this session and for why I care about this topic. It says, or do you want to read that there? It's on this. I have it on the second page here. Ephesians 5:15-16.
Yeah, sure. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil.
So we've got it there in the New Testament, a direct command to make the best use of our time. And that's what time management, productivity, or we could really use the word fruitfulness. You know, that'd be another word that you could use to describe it. That's what it's all about, making the best use of our time, because we have a limited amount and we want to please the Master. Another scripture that speaks to that is when the parable Jesus told about the talents, right? Mm-hmm. So that came up in our money in the money class, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of parallels we'll talk about. The master goes away, comes back, and he wants to see what they did in that time frame, and so how busy they were, how productive they were, how fruitful they were for him in that time frame. Really mattered. And so as God's people who have been called to be devoted to good works, we should really want to be giving ourselves to that. So I prefer the word productivity or fruitfulness compared to time management. Because time management speaks about the means, right? Which is that we want to manage our time. But productivity or fruitfulness describes the ends that we're after, because we're after being productive, being fruitful for the kingdom. We're not after managing our time so that we can have more time for ourselves, mm-hmm. right? So that's kind of the big idea there.
When we talk about being fruitful, what is God's view on fruitfulness or being productive? Is there reward for being fruitful, or is there punishment for those who aren't?
Well, I mean, yeah, you're kind of answering the question as you ask, right? But we have been saved, given the Holy Spirit, and one of the intended results of that is that we would bear fruit, right? Mm-hmm. Like, by this my Father is glorified, and think of the number of ways Jesus talks about us bearing fruit in John 14 to 16 there, and that is what we should do. And again, an apple tree that only bears one apple every 2 years is not fruitful.
Nope.
So fruitfulness means that there is an amount of fruit within a relative time frame that speaks to this actually being fruitful. And so and I also think what really ties in with this, and we'll talk about this in just a little bit here, see where we've got how I've got things organized here, but or we can maybe even jump into that if you want. The idea of what Titus spoke to us about good works,
mm-hmm.
that was really another one of the scriptures or the selections of scriptures that really caused this to burn in my heart again.
Mm.
Because how many times in Titus did we hear about how important it was just to be devoted to good works, careful to do good works, zealous for good works. And yet in the life of many people, in the life of many Christians, and I don't know if you'd agree with this, but there seems to be a fairly big gap between our good intentions and our good works.
Mm.
There's a lot we want to do. There's a lot we talk about doing. There's a lot we dream of. We hear a sermon on good works or read the chapter. Yeah, I'm going to do this. And yet, is it not often true as we look back that we realize there's quite a big gap there between our good intentions and our good works? Or do you think that's just, do you think that's only been true for me?
If you were to ask me my own opinion on that, and it sounds like you are, I would tend to agree with you in that. Looking at my own heart, as I guess the only thing I can do, yeah, absolutely. Having good intentions, and whether it's life itself overriding or distracting from what is important, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Intentions and the actual follow through can be separated for sure.
Right. Now, here's why time management really matters to me, because I think a great many Christians feel fairly guilty about that if they stop to think about it, or at least they feel like, oh, I'm not doing enough, or I could be doing more, and there's a sense that what's wrong with me, or whatever the kinds of thoughts that people tend to ask. But I think some of the answers for why there's that gap between our good intentions and our good works are actually a fair bit simpler than that. And so I think of one story when I was a kid, the year that I began to be homeschooled, it was my grade 8 year,
mm-hmm.
Really tough year for me in a lot of ways. And some of the older guys in my youth group really took me under their wing. I was learning the guitar. They were guitar players. It was fantastic. We'd hang out and jam. And it was just really gave me a group of people that was really helpful and healthy for me at that stage of my life. And they were talking one day about this place called Long and McQuaid, you know, because we were in Moose Jaw and this big music store in Regina, and they described, you know, the wall of guitars. And, you know, as me, this, you know, kid who's just learning to play guitar, it was, you know, like they're describing the paradise. And I'm like, oh, that sounds amazing. Like, oh yeah, we go in every few Saturdays. Next time we go, we'll bring you with us. So you can imagine, little grade 8 me, for every Saturday for the next few weeks, I'd get up and I just like, I'd wait for the call, and I'd be looking out the window, and I just, you know, and after a few months, I realized, you know, this probably isn't going to happen.
Hmm.
And at the time, what was very, it was easy for me to feel like, well, they don't care about me. They have more important things to do. I'm not important to them. All those kinds of thoughts. Why do you think the real reason is they didn't bring me to Regina with them?
They forgot, or they didn't go?
They forgot. Because they went. And that's part of what was hard is that, you know, I knew they went. And they forgot. And just the simple act of forgetting is one of those huge reasons why there's a gap between our good intentions and our good works. How many times have we said, oh yeah, I'll do that? And it just doesn't happen. And it's because we forgot. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about in this class is how to work around that, how to have that not be a factor that slows down or impedes us in our fruitfulness for good works. But the gap between good intentions and good works so often comes down to us not remembering or just not using our time well. And on the other hand, I think of a positive story, and I'm not tooting my own horn here, because you're going to hear in a moment here, I don't have much of a horn to toot. But it was with a group of prospective pastors I was meeting with this last year, and I was talking about this stuff one night, and then the next in between, you know, it was a couple of months before we met, and somewhere in there I was talking with one of the guys and said, well, next time you're back in Nipawin, we'll go for coffee, and because we had a conversation to follow up on. And when they were there that next night, I said to him, So you're back in town, let's plan time to go for coffee like we talked about. And he just stopped and he's like, okay, you just convinced me about all this productivity stuff you talk about. Because the fact that 2 or so months later, after that conversation, I remembered and followed up and said, let's go for coffee. He said that, like, just the personal touch was just, because he's just so used to people, oh yeah, we'll go for coffee next time you're in town, and that's just, and then you forget. And now, why did I remember to go for coffee with him? Well, it's not because I have a great memory. In fact, it's the opposite. But it's because of the stuff we're going to learn, and I'm not going to share it now because it's going to come up in the coming weeks. But it's because of the things we're going to learn here that I was able to know. And there's a clue. It involves writing stuff down. It involves using your calendar. And I was able to make a note for myself. See, I'm opening the
can of worms.
Letting the cat out of the bag. But as soon as we finished that conversation, I made a note that said, next time this person's in town, we're going to meet. And then when I processed that note in a few days, I put it on my calendar so that because I knew when he was going to be back. So then that day that he was back, it came up on my calendar. This person's back in town, we're going to meet. So it's simple things like that, and it really made a difference to him. It was quite profound for him. So productivity is about doing as much good as we can in the time that we have available to us. It's also, because when you hear that, what is one of the pictures that might come to mind about someone doing as much as they can in the time that they have? What could that turn into?
Hamster on a wheel, try to go somewhere and not getting anywhere. That would be the picture that I have in my head. Or on a treadmill.
Someone burning out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And productivity, on the one hand, is fruitfulness, we could say, is about doing as much good as you can in the time you have available. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it's about not burning out. Because it seems like maybe there's a spectrum here of where people tend to fall, but the one story I remember so well about why this stuff matters. I was in a tire shop back when I lived in Regina, and I needed something simple done on my tires. I'd called in, they said, oh yeah, come on in, we'll take care of you today. And I was thinking, oh great. Well, I stood in line for about an hour and a half, and as I stood in line, I saw what happened. So here's a story that repeated itself. I was maybe 12th in line, not a huge line. Someone would come to the counter, and they'd say, well, here's my problem. My car's having this problem. The guy would go, okay, let's go look at it. And he would he would go right then and go deal with it. Or have one of his other guys do it. And he'd work with them, and the rest of us would just kind of wait there. And then he'd come back, and then the next person would come, and they'd say, well, I'm having this problem. Okay, well, and then he would go. And in between, I'm hearing him say how busy he is, how he's working 80-hour weeks, how he's running off his feet and, you know, kind of complaining to each of his customers. But this guy was busy, but he was not working very smartly. And he was just like a chicken with his head cut off. So my particular thing that I needed done involved them ordering in a part and scheduling me to do some work later. So he's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll order it. We'll call you." Okay. So what do you think happened?
Yeah, he did not do that.
I never heard from the man, and eventually went somewhere else. And so that's an example of a guy who looks productive, but he's working in a very inefficient way, and he's going to burn out. I think that guy, if he's still going now, I'd be surprised. I expect he probably would have physically burnt out by now. So productivity is also about recognizing we can't do everything. We need priorities. We need to establish priorities and work off those priorities. And we need to know what to say yes to, and we need to know what to say no to. Because if we think that being fruitful means saying yes to everything, we're gonna burn out.
Mm-hmm.
And so productivity is also about knowing what to say yes to and what to say no to and when. And
are we going to be getting into how does that look like and figuring out what priorities we should be making?
Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely. We're going to turn to scripture as our guide and see what are our priorities and how do we establish really careful ways of thinking about our priorities. So
great.
it gets really practical. But in my experience, and I'm sure you've probably seen the same kind of thing, there tends to be a spectrum, and I'm not going to say there's two types of people, but there tends to be a spectrum where on the one hand, there's people who say yes to everything and they shouldn't. And on the other hand, there's people who their default tends to be no, because they think they're too busy. But you look at their life and it's kind of like, I don't think you're too busy.
Mm-hmm.
They think they're too busy. And both of those problems of the person who's saying yes to way too much and the person who's saying no to way too much come from an improper understanding of priorities and an improper way of managing their priorities and building their schedule around their priorities. So, yeah, what we're going to talk about practically to get there is not rocket science, but it is fairly deliberate. A deliberate process. One of the biggest things that people struggle with when I talk about my approach to productivity, which has been influenced by a lot of other authors and stuff, I haven't made this stuff up. One of the things they really struggle with is my challenge that you can't do everything you want to do, and you can't remember to do everything that you need to do. And we'll talk about that later on, but you know, stop trying to trust your memory to hold everything that you're supposed to do. And people really struggle with that. And that's why I have said, and I'll say it here, is that productivity, what we're going to be talking about here, is actually a function of humility, because it starts by recognizing I can't do everything that I want to do, and I'm not going to be able to remember everything that's important. So I'm going to need to develop some habits and use some tools to help me remember what's important and then to do it.
If I'm hearing you correctly, a person needs discipline in carrying through with these things that you're touching on here. It's one of the things that a person has to develop and work on.
Yeah. If by discipline, you mean
self-discipline.
Yeah. Yeah, and if by self-discipline you mean not flying by the seat of your pants and just being like, "Oh, I want to do this. Oh, I want to do this," but having at least, and what it really comes down to a lot of times is taking a few minutes at the start of each week to think through, okay, what are my priorities? What am I going to do? But yeah, that, of course, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's not a word that I had necessarily thought of in connection, but I suppose that is what's being described.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's helpful.
So you earlier were talking about you yourself not being the perfect example of some of these things that you're going to be talking about. Can you tell us your story a bit?
Yeah, so people who hear me talk about this stuff and people who have even worked with me in recent years think things about me that are not true, right? Because generally when people talk about being organized and being disciplined, you assume what about them?
They're type A personality.
That they're an organized and disciplined person.
Driven.
Yeah. So I probably am. I don't know if I'm type A or not. I probably am. But the idea that they are organized and disciplined. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's not the case at all. I spent the whole well over first half of my life like a chicken with my head cut off, forgetting everything constantly, never doing the right thing at the right time. I remember when I, you know, first got a job and or would be going out to run errands and standing at the front door and be like, oh, I forgot this, and going back and my whole life I'm and people who know me better now are maybe not going to be surprised by this, but I'm highly distractible. I have struggles with concentration, really struggle with sticking to task. And that was something all through my school years and everything. I'm really, really good at procrastinating, really good at procrastinating. For most of my life, unfinished projects in my wake everywhere, where I'd start something and then just get to a certain point and then just leave it. And, my desk for years was just a total mess. My room would be a total mess. Significant short-term memory issues. So just not forgetting the most basic things. I'm at the stage in my relationship with my wife where I don't feel defensive when she laughs at me because I know she's got my back. But I give her plenty of material to laugh about. Like, you seriously, like, forgot that? Like, we just talked about that. I really struggle to think through prerequisites for things, really struggle to think through details ahead of time. I see the details that I missed really well, I've gone through most of my life with some significant handicaps in these areas, and it really impacted my ability on the jobs and things that I did.
So I'm getting really excited here, Chris, because it sounds like if I'm hearing you correctly, if we hear what you're saying, as a husband, I'm not going to be forgetting silly things that were just talked about or forgetting things at the door that I should be remembering. Is this right? This correct?
There's no guarantee or warranty that comes with this.
Okay.
But what I am going to say is, if I can fill in a couple more pieces of some of my, like, there were times in some of my earlier jobs and even in the very beginning of some of my working in a church where whole days and sometimes whole weeks would go by and I would not be able to give an answer to the question, what did you do? I knew I was doing stuff, but just a fog of moving from one thing to the next and just confusion and chaos just sort of reigning and getting super distracted with things and on all that kind of stuff. And sometimes just really obvious things just not occurring to me when it comes to working. So again, some significant handicaps. And I think when people look at me today, I think they see someone who's fairly productive and who, I think of just the many things the Lord's allowed me to do and to kind of do at the same time. And so here's the reason why I share that is to say, if someone with some of the handicaps that I have is able to be as productive as I am, then what could, and the reason for that is from some of these habits, principles, tools that we're going to talk about. If someone who doesn't have those handicaps was to use some of these habits, principles, and tools, man, how fruitful could they be? And that's an exciting question for me, because I feel like these principles, habits, and tools have helped me function at least a normal level. Mm. So, man, for someone who's starting from a normal level, it could be amazing. Mm. So, yeah. Do I still forget things? Of course. But a lot less often than I used to. Mm. A lot less often. And do I still forget important things? Again, I'd say very infrequently compared to what used to be my normal. Mm. It still happens, but less and less as the years go by. So yeah, learning some of these principles, habits, and tools transformed my life. And I know that sounds like changed my life, but in reality it did. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really excited to share them with other people. And it really is about helping us all do what the Book of Titus called us to do. Be fruitful and devoted to good works and to do as much as we can at a healthy pace that we can. Mm-hmm. Yeah, make sense?
Absolutely does. So are you going to give us a few systems or ways that we can do that?
Yeah.
Or the tools.
Yeah. So where we're going to get to is really practically what we're going to talk about over the coming classes is four principles, four tools, and four habits. So mm-hmm. it's really, I mean, if all this sounds crazy, it gets really nitty-gritty and really basic, right? There's four principles you got to work with, four tools you need to use, and four habits you need to practice. Mm-hmm. But what all those fit into is the idea that there is a system here. There's a productivity system you have. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody has a productivity system. And I want to make this very clear that this is not just for business professionals. This is not just for people who, you know, do the kind of work that I do. This is for everybody. The things we're going to talk about here, they're for stay-at-home moms, and they're for farmers, and they're for chiropractors, and this is for everybody. And I think for some people, there is a bit of a shift in, and this goes back to what I was talking about before with, you know, well, I can't just use my brain to remember stuff, like that you have to use a system. I think that can be quite a shift. But one of the points I want to make is that if there's a gap between good intentions and good works, that gap does not get closed by just more intentions. Hmm. The gap gets closed, or the bridge gets made with a well thought out system. And that system can be super simple. The system doesn't have to be incredibly complex. It can be very simple. But there's got to be a system. You are not going to be more productive by yourself. Hmm. It's not going to happen. By yourself is maybe the wrong phrase. You being more productive will not happen by itself. Hmm. You have to be deliberate about it. You have to be intentional about it. Mm-hmm. What's the only thing that ever happens by itself? What's the only? Don't look at the notes.
I already did.
Okay. Okay. But do you agree with that? And maybe you want to share it. Do you agree with that?
That sin happens by itself.
Sin is the only, like, if we just let things go, sin and chaos. We could maybe add chaos to it, right? If I let my backyard just go, it's going to be chaos. If I let my car just go, it's good. Because we live in this fallen world, right? If we don't do anything, stuff falls apart. Hmm.
The only thing I would say would maybe one other thing would be God's grace, and that's the only other thing.
Okay,
common grace.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. And so, and that is in many ways what, like, that ties in with all of this stuff really well. But God's grace is something that we get to partner with as we work to live more holy and more fruitful lives. Hmm. But yeah, it does take an application of some deliberate, careful thought. And again, this is not crazy complicated. It can be very simple. But it does come down to having a system for yourself that makes sure that helps you remember stuff, things aren't falling through the cracks. And what this all is really about is about helping you answer the question, what is best next? Hmm. That's actually the title of one of the first big Christian productivity books, What's Best Next. It's called How the Gospel Changes the Way We Work.
Who's the author of that? Do you remember?
Matt Perman or Matthew Perman. Excellent book.
Do you have any other recommendations of books that on the topic?
So that's a fairly detailed book. Mm-hmm. He followed it up with another book that's not necessarily a sequel. It's complementary. It's called Getting Unstuck by Matt Perman. A really short book that's aimed, you know, at a fairly... it's very small and it doesn't feel like a business professional book. It's called Do More Better by Tim Challies. And that's a, you know, I'd be comfortable handing that book to a high schooler. It's a fairly, and then there's another significant Christian productivity book that's just been published this year and it's escaping me and I haven't read it. It looks quite good. It's one of the professors at Westminster wrote it. I'll maybe throw the recommend into a future video.
Sounds good. Do we have these books in our library?
Great question. Not at this point. I have them on my shelf and I'd be happy to lend them out, but these would be excellent includes for the library.
Might have to write these down.
Yeah, thanks for this. So do you notice what I'm doing right now?
We are writing things down so that we do not forget.
I'm not saying, that's a great idea, Curtis. That's one of my pet, I won't get into
notice that. That I also wrote down.
I appreciate that because I'm not going to trust my mind to remember that. And but that's where we're going here is four principles, four tools, and four habits. And those principles, tools, and habits work together to help us be really productive, really, really effective. And here's maybe one of the last things I'll say, and I think I mentioned it in the story of the tire shop, but this really cuts down on a lot of stress. Hmm. So for some people, the sound of a productivity system might be like, but like, no, the reality is if you carve out a little bit of time to figure out a system that works for you, because it's not one size fits all. You figure out a system that works for you, you figure out some tools, figure out some habits, the amount of stress that you carry around, like I don't think people are even aware all the time of how much stress we carry around about what we're doing and what we should be doing. And trying to remember things and unsure if we're doing the right thing at the right time. This so deflates that stress in such a significant way. And so it's not a burden. A productivity system is not a burden. It takes a little bit of time to get it set up. Not a lot, a little bit. But once you have it set up, you are going with the current instead of against the current is the way it feels.
Mm-hmm. So you said this is good for everybody. Is it good for the 8-year-old as well as the 80-year-old?
Well, there are some principles that maybe I haven't really thought about it in terms of children. Definitely worked on this material with high schoolers, right? Mm-hmm. You know, this material begins to be applicable as soon as someone is responsible for things that they need to be doing that go beyond, you know, like with our kids right now, we tell them to do something, they do it. But when it becomes they've got a few things that they need to do themselves, and they're at the spot of maturity where they should be able to figure out how to do that all, then some of these principles in an elementary form totally kick in for them.
Neat. Great.
So that's it for this first session, and really kind of a teaser.
Great. I'm looking forward to the remaining ones. So it sounds like we're tentatively doing 6 altogether?
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay,
great. Well, we're looking forward to the other ones coming up.
Awesome.
Great.